Welcome to Overtime on Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the big stories in CSGO in less time than it takes AGO to get stripped of their trophy. A quick reminder to rate and review us at the end of the episode. It really helps us. I'm Logan. This is AZ-esk. Let's get into it. Today we're going to be talking about Valve RMR events. And no, not the shit show that was last week. We're just going to talk about them normally, probably.
These would be, you know, the normal shit show. Like
the normal shit show.
Astralis and NetOP.
Let's go there first. We're going to start in Europe, then we're going to go to North America, and we'll then spend a little bit of time in the CIS region. So, Europe. Flashpoint happened. Mm-hmm. There were no big technical issues this week, which was convenient.
Yes. Very good.
So, Mao's 2-0 to Astralis, which is really good for Mao's.
Yeah, I think Mao's are actually good again, which is nice. Because they fucking well should be. I mean, they've got, you know, you've got Rops, who's just, I mean, he has to be just the third best player in the world, I think. Like, I don't think there's anyone who has a claim to that right now that isn't, you know, Rops. Like, it's quite clearly, you know, I think so, at least. So there's no reason Mao shouldn't be one of the best teams in the world. Astralis, on the other hand, just don't look like Astralis, which is to be expected, right? They're in a transitional period. And they weren't at their best when the transitional period started. Like, you know, it sort of started because they weren't playing that well, or they weren't playing that well because stuff, whichever way you round, you want to think of it. So even though it's a great result for Mouse and it's cool and all, and it's nice to think that Mouse are back because their results recently have been really good, we do need to temper expectations a little bit with it being Astralis. Like Astralis were losing several rounds with man advantages in ways they just didn't before. Like,
yeah, they were losing like 5v3s.
5v3s and 2v4s, and you're just like, that doesn't happen to Astralis. That happens to other teams, but it doesn't happen to Astralis.
Yeah. Something that I thought was interesting is that part of the way that Mouts has like kind of come back in, like, I want to say it's like a renaissance, but it's really not, because they brought new players in and we said to give them time, and then we didn't give them apparently enough time. And now they're coming around. Is that Rops has become much more entry frag. I don't know what exactly happened there, but Rops has been taking a lot more entry duels than Frozen has recently, and it's been to the betterment of the team. Like, he'll be the first person going down, but he'll get you two kills every single round, and Frozen has shown that he is so good as a rifler that he'll be able to fill the position that Rops has kind of, like, emptied by moving to entry.
It's actually so unfair that they have both Rops and Frozen. Like, because they're genuinely two of the best clutches in, like, pro Counter-Strike. Like, Rops is phenomenal in the clutch. And then you watch Frozen, and, I mean, his name is just perfect because he is just ice fucking cold. Like, he just doesn't panic at all. He plays every situation well. And, I mean, he's, like, his aim is absolutely killer, obviously. But he is, like, ice cold. He doesn't make mistakes in a clutch. And he's still very young.
He's like 17.
It doesn't seem to matter. Yeah, he's been 17 for about 4 years though. Like, it's incredible. He doesn't age.
He's 18 years old, according to the internet.
Benjamin Button or Peter Pan or something. Like, age is just an illusion when it comes to Frozen. But he plays like he's like 25.
Yeah, he plays like
there's no. Yeah. He looks like a veteran when he plays, and it's so unfair they have him and Rops, because as I say, they're like, if you lost Rops, Frozen is about the best replacement you can get. He's a little bit younger, but he's got that same, like,
we'll headshot you around a corner without looking kind of vibe.
Frozen's a bit more explosive. I feel like Rops gets the sort of, like, how am I putting this? He'll get 25 kills without you really realizing sometimes. Whereas when Frozen will just go like 27-8, and you're like, what's going on? Like, yeah, like he starts games like 14-3 all the time.
Yeah,
and even when he calls up, he's a bit more explosive, but he's got that same, like, incredible ability to clutch and just intelligence in the way he plays the game. And it's like, I mean, it's like the perfect tutor in a sense, because he's done the same, he did a very similar path. Like,
yeah.
So the fact that they can just flex Rops into a more aggressive position and just go, yeah, we'll just have Frozen close down the rounds instead. It's like, it's such a luxury for an in-game leader.
Yeah, I feel like Dexter's just kind of, he's getting the best of all the worlds here, right? That he's moved from a team, right, where he had full power on the team, like full amount to IGL. We don't know how much like power he really has on this team, but regardless of how much power, he's got the players that'll do what he needs to do, right? Like,
yeah,
Rops and Frozen have been under Kerrigan for a while, right? They know how to play the game. It's not like he's got players who are just like for the first time ever figuring out how to play the game. And like Bemis has been under Kerrigan for a little while as well. So it's like he's got players who have been under really good IGLs. Acor, the only one who hasn't, as far as I know, been under like a really good IGL, but Acor's been doing pretty well recently as well.
Yeah, I mean, Acor mechanically is very good. You just want, I think he has a little bit of the Cirque about him where he makes the game a little bit difficult for himself sometimes. But I mean, mechanically, he's near flawless.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to...
I think BMAS is the strange one in that team. Like, BMAS is a very unusual player. He reminds me quite a lot of Gade when Gade was a little bit younger. And that he either gets, like, 4 kills or he doesn't get any. And yeah. Sometimes he looks like the best player in the world. Like, his, like, first bullet aim, his spray control is incredible. Like, he can tell you where the 27th bullet of the AK goes. Like, he just knows... Like, his spray control is unbelievable. But then sometimes he just looks like he's like a rabbit in the headlights. Like, he has no idea what's going on sometimes. He gets caught out all the time. And obviously that will come with time. He's very, very raw. But I can't figure him out. Like, I don't know if he's good or not. I think he's good. But so he might... I was really convinced Gade was going to be like a monster because like mechanically he is unbelievable. And BMAS is very similar, but it's, but he's, as you say, he was under Kerrigan, he's now under Dexter. You're not going to get many better IGLs to learn from.
Yeah.
Over your career. So the next sort of like 1 year, maybe 2 years are pretty pivotal. And if he's not like a genuine superstar or maybe not a genuine superstar, but a genuine
like a good player,
you know, like a player who could play for a top 10, 15 team, I'd be a little bit worried because he definitely has the skill set to be good at this level. It's just whether or not he can piece it all together. I hope he does because I quite like BMAS.
Yeah.
And the fact that he tweeted before the Astralis game, if you saw this, he tweeted, going to get my first win against Astralis in my career today.
Yeah, he tweeted like 10 hours beforehand too. It was great.
Yeah, I like that. That's confidence in a 17-year-old kid.
He also played for... He's Estonian, right? Or something like that?
Lithuanian, I believe.
He's Lithuanian. I think he played for a team called Lithuania, which is just the greatest thing I've ever heard.
There's a Russian team that a lot of the previously Tier 2 and now Tier 1 AIS players played for called Fluffy Gangsters, which I always thought was a good name.
That's a pretty good name.
It's very childish, but it's...
cares.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, let's move on to G2 and NiP. So G2 won the series 2-1, and this was a really close series.
Yeah.
This was I watched the whole thing on this one. And they just went bout for bout for bout. Amanek is starting to look like a real CT opper, and the G2 team is starting to really remind me of Liquid. Like really remind me of Liquid.
Bro, Amanek actually out op Device.
I know.
There's no argument there. He was just the best. Amanek was the best AWPer in the game.
Yeah.
Like,
it was really
NIP just paid $1 million for an AWPer and he just got out AWPed by a guy who's, you know, looks like iDubbbz. It's incredible. It's so fun. Like, both Device and Nico are actually quite bad in this series.
Yeah, I mean, no, neither were.
Quite bad by their own high standards, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But, like, Device didn't go positive, Nico went negative. It's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, but Hunter...
Bizarre game.
That's why Hunter's there, right? Hunter's there to pick up slack when Nico's not doing great. And, like, And on Nip, Rez picked up that slack, at least a little bit on device.
Rez looks so good. Rez looked really good this series. He was like the best player on NIP that game by some distance.
Yeah, but like, it didn't matter because Amanek just out-opted and it just like
I don't know what happened. I don't know what has Amanek always been this good at AWPing and we just didn't know.
Who was the AWPer when Kenny was still on the team? Well, who was the secondary AWPer when Kenny was still on the team?
Amanek or Nico would flex it. I've definitely seen Amanek AWP before. I just didn't expect him to be this good. I knew he was decent at it. But he's like Flamey. Like, Flamey's quite a good AWPer, but you wouldn't necessarily have him as your primary.
Yeah. He feels very Nitro-y to me. Like, in this specific role.
Mm.
Like,
He was really surprisingly good. Like, yeah. Very few AWPers get the better of Device 1v1, because Device is a very good anti-AWP AWPer.
Yeah.
Very much like Alu was. Alu was very good at shutting down opposition AWPers.
Well, it's because I think it's because Device is such a good rifler as well. It's you have AWPers that are very good AWPers, but then you have AWPers that also do a lot of rifling that will play the AWP like it's a rifle in such a way that it takes out the benefit of the AWP for the other team.
Mm.
Like basically shotgun AWP.
Also the fact that Device does a lot. I think maybe this might be why it was so easy for Amanek today, like a few days ago, is because Device does a lot of research on opposition AWPers and their tendencies, and Amanek doesn't AWP.
Zero.
There's no info for him. He's like, how do I do research on a guy that doesn't AWP? Like, how are you supposed to know what he's going to do?
You're not. That's the...
Exactly. So if you're playing against NIP, just change your AWPer for a game.
All right, let's talk about FunPlus, Phoenix, and Vitality. So this was... This was also one of those matches that I thought was going to go the other way. So Vitality won 2-1, right? And Masuda had a really good game, which I think that's the first time anyone's ever said that.
So he top frags, but if you look at the actual maps, I think his best map was the one they lost. And then on the deciding map, Zywu just went 30 and 15.
Of course it was.
Because I did the same thing when I was writing the news that I looked back, because I don't remember Masuda having this good a game. And then it was like, oh, no, the third map was literally just Zywu taking over, and that's why they won. Like, okay, right, that makes sense. I'm talking about.
I just checked. No, it's, yeah.
So Dust2 was the map for FPX 1.
Yeah.
And Masuda top fragged on that. And then Inferno Apex top fragged with 30 kills, which is...
Which, also not something you
That's fun. Play. And Masuda did come second on that map, to be fair. And Zywu went negative and they still won, which is... That's a rare sight. I mean, that's a good sign for Vitality. But... Or at least it would be if you thought it was at all sustainable. But I just don't see Apex jumping 30 very often. But I mean, them winning with Zywu going negative, I mean, all props to you. That's pretty impressive. And then Vertigo, as mentioned, was just Zywu plus 15, 122 ADR. But I will say Masuda... Again, positive. Like, he went positive on all three maps, and that's pretty good. Like, the guy is talented.
Don't see him do that.
Yeah, he's had periods of time where he's been able to do this. It's just that he's never been consistent with it. So, I mean, you can't say... It seems pretty lazy to just go, well, if he can be consistently this good, they'll be great, because he just won't be consistently this good.
Yeah.
Because that's not the type of player he is. It's not the type of team Vitality are.
Yeah.
So... But it does show that Vitality, you can't just go, Vitality are a bit shoddy now, because they always have this in the bag and they can take down a team like FPX who
are actually,
as we mentioned last week, don't tend to make many mistakes and are a very good, solid team. They're almost a gatekeeper to the top 10, I always think of them as. Like, if you're better than FPX, you're a top 10 team, and if you're not, then you're not.
Yeah, they're playing Complexity today. I'm actually really excited about that.
FPX will beat Complexity.
I really hope they do.
Complexity just make too many mistakes, and FPX are too good at punishing them.
Speaking of Complexity against teams that don't make mistakes, Complexity got beat by Heroic, which...
Yeah. Heroic are just, like...
Better?
Boringly good now.
I don't think they're boringly good. I think they're just a better team.
Yeah, right? But they just smash everyone. Like, it's almost boring at this point. They've almost taken over the Astralis mantle of just smashing anyone who's not... Like, anyone who's not really good Heroic just batter them. Like,
is this what
they're so reliable?
Is this what it feels like to be a good Danish team? It's just like every Danish team.
That's yeah, good. I mean,
just like if North were good, would just this reliable. Have happened as well?
Yeah, but there are some teams that are just reliable. Like, you just always know they're going to beat a worse team, and Heroic just don't lose to teams worse than them.
Yeah,
they're so reliable at beating, you know, teams that are about 15th in the world. They just never lose.
I do love the fact that Heroic, right, did that the swap of Borup and Nico for Shish and Refresh like a month and a half ago, right? And it's like, you never saw a dip. You never saw a different, like, you actually saw it go up, right? They won Pro League right after that switch, right? I think there's a lot going to Katie in there on the fact that he's able to integrate two players into his system so quickly. But, like, there's no questioning on this team whether they're good or not. Like, we shouldn't have been questioning them, and if you were questioning them, you're wrong at this point. But, like, every single person on this team can frag. Every single person can frag.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's frightening. They really are similar to Astralis. They just have like five solid. There's no player who you think of as a weak point, and they just are just reliable at beating teams worse than them.
Yeah. All right, let's move on over the pond to North America, where we've got a. Flashpoint 3 groups finished up last night. Not Flashpoint 3. I just... Bro, I always think Flashpoint's the American event. I don't know why.
It is a very American name.
Flashpoint. And they're also recording in LA. Like, they're all in... Like, the production's happening in LA while all the matches are happening in Europe. Which is... Okay, side note, really quickly. Production for Flashpoint, the European event, is happening in LA while everything's happening in Europe. The Summit production, for the most part, is happening in Europe while all the plays happening in AA. And Richard Lewis, Harry, and Hugo are all on the desk and casting starting at like 7 p.m. when this starts in the U.S. So they're starting at like midnight in the U.K. and going until 4 in the morning and still producing really good Counter-Strike stuff. Like,
I know that feeling. It happens. I've worked on events in Australia where I would work... I once worked 2 a.m. till midday. That's killer. That's really horrible. I recently worked, and don't judge me for this, I did one night of a Fortnite event. Did overlay for a Fortnite event because the woman who normally does it was unable. So I produced that for a night, and that started at 9 p.m. and finished at 4:30. So it's like, production, it's obviously not great for production teams for talent, but it happens all the time. I mean, all the time at DreamHack Masters, we'd be finishing at like 2:30 if we were producing, because we would produce the NA events from Europe as well.
For some reason, 2 doesn't feel as bad as like casting until 4 in the morning. I don't know.
I
remember the first night I was like, Harry literally had a mug of coffee and said, like, this is the first coffee. And I was like, oh God, this is going to be a thing.
Yeah, I mean, whenever the NA, if the third game went to 3 maps, we had times we'd finish at like 3. And obviously with, we had Pimp, Maniac, and Banks casting those. And they were also doing the desks, so they barely had a break.
Yes, they were.
They would just come in and just like talk for 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. Thankfully, in the DreamHack Studios, because it's sponsored by Monster, there's like an endless supply of Monster Energy, which is, I mean, dangerous convenient. In some sense, but also if you're working till 3 a.m., it's pretty nice. I'd never even drank Monster before. Like, I just didn't drink energy drinks until I went there, and I was like, well, feels rude not to. I mean, they've got loads of different flavors and shit. I'm like, it's the Monster Energy Studios. Like, I feel like I've got to at this point.
I feel like I'm obligated. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Summit for a minute. Playoffs start tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday, right? Yeah. Playoffs start tomorrow or today when this comes out.
Today when you hear this.
Yeah. As per usual in every Summit timing ever, they start really late in America. So good luck catching them. I mean, it's actually 5:30. It's not that bad this week. But
half 10 in the UK, half 11 in mainland Europe.
Let's talk about the groups, though, because the groups are interesting. I want to talk about Group B first. Group B was Extra Salt Liquid, Extremium, Bad News Bears. Unfortunately, Bad News Bears went 0-2, which is so unfortunate.
Yeah, I wanted them to be better than Extremium. Like, that's the thing I really wanted.
So did I.
This Extremium team is just... I don't know, man. It's annoying. Like, when they made the team, I was like, I don't understand why we're remaking Renegades, but over 100 Whatever. Thieves without JKS. Like, it just seems... Yeah. Like, well, what's the point? It's like, take that without Robbie Williams. Oh, wait, never mind.
And Ventet doesn't look like a JKS replacement. It's like, they were like scouting him, like, if you can't beat him, join him and stuff. Like,
man, Ventet is like... I really wanted to think he was, like, this... ungodly like superstar, but he's kind of he's a good player, but he's not a superstar. Like, he's he's a very good player, but he's more a reliable fragger than he is a, you know, superstar. He looked like a superstar for a little bit in Tai Lu and such, but
I think he looked like a superstar in Tai Lu because he was the only one in Tai Lu, like, but at that moment,
because at times he looked like a superstar in Tai Lu, but then at other times it was like he would be a middle of the road player and they'd be relying on like somebody to just have one of those games where running through a smoke works.
Yeah,
and that's how they won.
So I was Group B. Extra Salt and Liquid came through, and I wanna so at the end of the Extra Salt Liquid game, I actually wrote this down because this was some of the best casting I've ever heard. And I was so impressed by it. Okay, I can't find it. Whatever, I'll figure it out later. I think it was something like, and when the liquid evaporates, all that's left is salt. When Extra Salt beat Liquid, and I was like, that was really good. I made
a joke in the newsletter years ago, something about Liquid looking solid or something, and it was, but it was a joke about the United States being Liquid and Solid. It made more sense in context than it does saying it out loud now, but I was quite happy with it at the time.
All right, let's talk about the other group now, because the other group's way more fun, because Pain got through. They did it.
Oh yeah. I mean it sounds weird to say I'm on the Pain train, but I am. Like, I saw this team at DreamHack when we did the NA events, and it's like, yeah, I mean, this team's solid. Like, Big Uzira is just so good. Safe is so good. Like, they have talent, and they look like one of the best teams in the region at that time. They topped the group as well, which is pretty nice. Oh, Plano missing out is not great. EG are just terrible now. I don't know.
I don't know what's happened. They're just not good. EG came in last place by, like, a mile in that group. Like, it wasn't...
Yeah, they got battered. I don't know. Like, I don't know what's up with EG. I don't know why they're just so bad. Like, I knew they weren't great, right? Like,
but they'd been
falling off for a while, and then they like got worse players. But
I expect them to win one map, or like one match. Yeah, they just did it.
You expect them to be better than the worst team in NA. I mean, like, you still have Breezy, you still have Oboe. Like, there's just no reason this team should be.
Yeah,
like, quite as bad. They got one map of the tournament versus Pain. Like, Jesus Christ. I didn't watch this game, and I've just looked at the scoreboard now, and Stanislaw went -23.
That sounds
pretty
right.
But then PKL on the opposite side went -24, so.
Yeah, but he had Safe and Big Azera to do something. EG just didn't have anyone to do anything.
Yeah, Oboe did okay, but I mean, yeah, like this. I don't think the Mihu it's not even Mihu's fault, is it? Like,
no.
I wanted to be, you know, like, maybe the Mihu experience not working. He was like their best player. Him and Oboe were the two players who've done well, the two new guys. Like, what the hell's wrong with Breezy? Like, where's Breezy gone?
I don't know. I think the North American power rankings right now go like Extra Salt Liquid still fighting for the top spot. Like, even though Extra Salt beat Liquid the other day, I'm not convinced that they're better. Then it's like, like just North American teams, not Brazilian teams too. It's like Bad News Bears, and then it's like 17 other teams, including Triumph, and then
it's EG.
Yeah,
that's a hot take. That is, I don't necessarily disagree. I think EG are probably better than like Rebirth, though.
That's probably true.
Like, I've seen them play, and I'd probably take EG over them.
I mean, yeah, like, let's be real. They're not that bad, but like, they're definitely fourth best team. I'd say Bad News Bears beats EG in a best of three on a normal day right now, at least. It'd at least be close.
Maybe.
Be close.
It would be close. I think it would go to three maps, but I'd still back EG. Like,
I don't know.
Bad News Bears have like, I know this team is good, but I don't understand how. Like, they're decent. I don't really understand how. Like, I've seen all of these players individually, and Jonji's the only one who I thought was any good.
Mm-hmm. I do have to say, I love this Bad News Bears team, if just not for the memes, because you got, like, you have Jonji creating the giant vape clouds in the middle of the game on his player cam. You've got Spongy's
I don't think
death.
You're supposed to do. I think,
I highly doubt it. But it's
in events I've worked at, you're told to like not show the players vaping on camera because it's. Like,
although it is so Summit, so like.
Oh, if it's Summit, they won't.
It's Summit, they don't care. And then you've got like Spongy's dad walking in and giving him a sandwich during the bat three.
That was like it was just the "Are you winning, son?" meme. Just
oh my god, I was dying, man.
yeah, I mean.
All right, let's move over to the CIS region. So Epic's, what is it, Epic League? That's their RMR. It's going exactly as you expected. Spirit and Gambit are beating everyone. VP
let's
and Na'Vi.
Go, boys.
Yeah. Like, the top four teams that we expect to be winning are, well, winning. Upper semifinals is going to be Spirit and Gambit, which is unfortunate that one of them will have to kind of...
But it's a rematch. Spirit beat Gambit earlier in the tournament.
Yeah. All right, and then we got, we'll probably, I say probably, but like, VP, if VP beats Fours and Na'Vi beats Akuma, which I assume is true on both, we'll see a Na'Vi-VP matchup as well in the upper bracket. So we've got some fun matchups. We'll see, there's a lot of, like, this is the smallest of the RMRs, I think. Actually, I think it's the biggest in terms of, like, number of teams, but I think it's the smallest in, like, prize money and that stuff. But it's like, you have... four of the top 10 teams here. I think Spirit's still technically top 10. No, they're not. They're 12.
I don't think so.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. There's still, like, you have four really, really good teams here. So, like, this is kind
of. And Entropic are there, who is solid.
Yeah,
Entropic are on fire. I don't know who's on Akuma. Let's have a quick look.
It's a.
Okay, I only know Sensei. I've not heard. Yeah. So, for those of you listening, Sergiz, Psycho, Sensei, DemQQ, and J3KIE, Jakey. I'm almost certainly butchering all of those names other than Psycho,
absolutely,
which I can say.
I do have to say, though, our favorite Russian team, Grand, did not make it out of the groups.
Oh, they
went 0-3.
They must have been slacking. I mean, must have not been boot camping enough.
No.
K23 finished in the top. Like eight as well. K23 are a fun team.
Yeah, they're
Mo and Adren and Norbert.
They have more majors on that team than
Nilan
like,
as well.
More majors on that team than any other CIS team.
Yeah, true.
Hey guys, it's Logan. Quick note from the editor's desk. As you know, we've been running a referral code for the last couple of months now. That helps us get followers and helps you guys get real life CSGO stickers. So just a reminder that down in the description below, if you're on YouTube or in the show notes, if you're on Spotify, your Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts, then you can click on that, refer three friends, and you'll get real life CSGO stickers sent to your door. All right. Let's move on to the execute. We got two small things today. One's actually kind of big for the team, but it's the ESL Polish Championship title is getting stripped from AGO because of stream sniping, supposedly. I say supposedly, not because it's actually not getting stripped, but supposed stream sniping.
So supposedly this was found out because in a video they posted of the players like cheering. You can see somebody watching the stream in the background, like AGO members. And it's like, how dumb can you be? Why are you watching? Just go in the room and watch. Like, oh my God, why are you even bothering? It's such a waste of time. That must be so frustrating as a player to have the thing taken away from you because one of your managers was watching it. And you're like,
yeah. And they're like, we're going to like, do a super amount of legal stuff to like try and get this, and like understandable there. But like that sucks, man. It's like nothing the players could do either.
So supposedly because they provided some plausible reasoning as to why it wouldn't have been malicious, they avoided a 2-year ban, which is what it would have otherwise been.
Yeah.
Which is insane. But like, yeah, I just feel bad for the players. But the silver lining means that apparently Taz and Neo's team are getting invited instead.
Yeah, so basically what it is there's an event coming up called the ENC Global Playoff Spring, which basically, you know how we've got like the Polish Championship, we've got the UK Premiership, not the soccer one, the Counter-Strike one. We've got like ESL Minor Shaft or whatever it is, right? We've got like all these, yeah, that one. We've got all like the different locality events in Europe. So they're going to have a playoff, and the winner gets to pick a spot in either IEM Summer or IEM Cologne play-in. And then the runner-up gets the other spot. So, like, there's actually a big deal on the line for getting in here, right? So, like, I saw something. It was, like, it's Movistar Riders, Sprout, Honoris. I couldn't tell you what the Endpoint that are, like, in this. So, it's an actually, like, decent tournament, right? Like, Sprout's been looking pretty good. Endpoint's been looking pretty good. There's it's going to be an interesting tournament to watch, and it'll be like a little bit of fun. It's a Movistar, Sprout, Endpoint, Sangal, which is the ex Space Soldiers, but like from 7 years ago.
Yes, with, they've got, Sensi now, I think.
They do. Yes.
Who's somebody I've played with. So, you know, he's good.
LDLC, EC Brugge. And Gaijin, as well as Honoris. So, just interesting teams, fun teams. I don't know. This will be a fun event. It'll be super weird, though. Also, it's the first event I've ever seen on HLTV that the prize pool doesn't say, like, a dollar match. It says spots in IEM circuit.
Yeah, it's like a poker tournament. If you ever played poker tournaments, a lot of them have, like, play-in events. Where, like, you play on a table, and if you win, you get a ticket to a bigger tournament.
That's it. That's all you get.
Yeah.
All right. So second to last thing, Volvo came out the other day and announced that they're preparing for majors in 2022 and 2023, which on one hand, cool. On the other hand, expected. So
yeah, but like, it's nice to hear that it's actually, this is actually planned now. Yeah. Like, we actually want this.
It's nice to hear that, you know, Counter-Strike will continue in the future. That's always a good thing to hear.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Valorant LAN going on at the moment, so, and the League of Legends MSI as well. So, like, the precedent's so there, even if there's no fans. Like,
MSI finished on Sunday, but I actually want to touch on the Valorant LAN for a second, because every Counter-Strike tournament's stage presence ever has just been shown up by this Valorant, like, setup. It's gorgeous. I don't know if you've seen, I don't know if you tuned in at all, but
I watched a little bit, but
it's, if you have a minute, and this is for anyone going, right, if you can tune into VCT Masters or whatever it is, right, the stage setup that they have is absolutely gorgeous, and I think that Counter-Strike needs to start doing it. The last tournament I can remember that had something like this, right, was that Star Ladder Berlin Major, where we had like the giant like raised stage in the middle and stuff, and Epicenter when it was in Russia, where they had like the different parts of maps on the stage, and they had like barrels and shit all over the place.
Yeah,
it's like, that's the last time that like I remember somebody kind of going ham on the, on like how the stage looked, as opposed to like the normal ESL stage. So I think we need to get more stage presence.
Yeah, Riot are they love to show off.
They do, yes.
That way. Like, they love to show off with big events and big stage setups and stuff like that. So I wouldn't hold your breath, I think.
Oh, no, it's not going to happen.
I think Riot are always going to blow individual tournament organizers out of the water. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I can wish for things, though. Speaking of wishing for things, we wished for you all on Twitter to ask us questions, and you did. So let's move to overtime, where we answer listener mail. Absolutely flawless segues.
Beautiful stuff.
So Jack, our esteemed graphic designer for TLDR, has asked us our thoughts on hot tub streams.
I don't understand why everyone's so pressed about them, to be honest. Like, just ignore them and they'll go away. Yeah. Like bullies or bears. If you just ignore them, they go away.
So, like, I couldn't care less about, like, 98% of them. But also, Jack sent some really good ones the other day of, like, a monkey in a pool splashing around. And there's, like, ones of otters and stuff. And those are really good.
Animal videos are basically cheating. Though. Like,
yeah,
it's
but
like
it
the one thing that I just can't stop watching. Like, it's like my one weakness is just animal videos. Like, I watched an hour-long video the other day about, like, weird animal friendships. So, like, for example, did you know if you have a baby rhino who's orphaned, if they don't have like a friend or a like parent, they get so stressed out that they can die. So orphaned rhinos, they have to put them with another rhino, but if they can't find another rhino, the best partner for them is a sheep. Because rhinos, like baby rhinos, are so timid that if you like pair them with a dog, they never learn to graze. So they just eat dog food. It's just bad for them. Because they're like, oh, this guy's eating dog. I should just eat some dog food. Oh so, but God. Sheep graze. So you just have like the sheep and the rhino like walking next to each other eating grass. It's absolutely adorable. There was an orangutan in there who had a pet dog. Oh and he would like God. Take him swimming. It was great. It's brilliant. So I guess that's my thoughts on hot tub streams. Just get animal streams.
Just like, animal streams instead.
Yeah, like.
All right. What do we think about Fury in its current state? Do they need more time or should they seek to replace Junior? If it's the latter, who should they target?
I think they keep Junior, right?
I think they're in a good state right now. Like, I think Junior's starting to like, there was a period of time where he was not looking good on that team. I think he's starting to come into his own. I don't know. Give him more time. I mean, what's their competition? Oplano? They beat Oplano. So, like...
I believe in Junior. I think Junior's good.
I agree. Yeah, like, not only is Junior good, we've seen him be really, really good. And as Art's calling kind of evolves in English, right? Because it's not going to be as good in English as it was in Spanish. Portuguese. Before. As Art's calling evolves in Spanish, I think that everything will get better a little bit, and as everyone's like kind of more understanding English, I think it's more of like a time thing.
I don't think there's that much Art needs to call though. Like he only needs to call "Follow me, I'm going in."
I mean, yeah, that's true.
It's not like it's not like he's going to call anything particularly complex. He's just like, yeah, I'm going to charge down.
I'm going to charge down
ramp for the 15th round in a row. Somebody,
y'all figure it out.
I mean, it must be a culture shock though, because he goes from Sheikh Zula to Art. So it's going to take a little while to get used to that. And I think, I mean, I believe in Junior. I think he's really good, and I think he's shown flashes of what he can do, and I think you just sort of stick with it. I mean, it all depends on whether or not Fury are comfortable just carrying on speaking English, or whether like this knockback is like, maybe we should just stick to Portuguese. But I mean, it's not as easy as just going back to that. I mean, we saw that with MIBR, right? Like they were like, oh yeah, no, it's just our communication. So they went back to Portuguese and they were just still rubbish.
Yeah, but I mean, like Fury is a good team right now, as it is, like even with, like even minus Junior plus someone else, right? They're still a good team right now. So I think that you have a little bit less of the MIBR, it's the comms excuse, or that might actually be the like a real excuse for them. Like it could be, I think it's a less of an MIBR situation. Speaking of though, if they do want to replace Junior, my genius idea is do the Liquid Brazilian team flip flop again.
Get Fallen.
And bring Junior onto Liquid.
I'd love to see Fallen have to play with Art. Like he spends most of his career like bossing people around. He's like the grandfather of Brazilian CS. Like, no, we're the best Brazilian team now. You're going like I'm going to run down ramp and there's nothing you can do to tell me otherwise.
Yep.
Like this is not the Brazilian scene that I created. What are you doing? You'd go mad. It'd be brilliant.
It would be hilarious. All right. And our last question. What are our famous streamers?
So I have a lot of answers to this because I have a lot of free time. In CS, I've been enjoying MSL's stream recently. I mean, he gives a lot of knowledge. Chris J, when he streamed the Mouse Astralis game the other day. He has like co-streaming rights for Flashpoint. He's fucking hysterical. He's really funny. And I quite enjoy watching Maniac and Launders. Maniac's very relaxed. He only streams in the mornings, so it's probably too early for you.
I've been up at weird. So if I'm up at like 3 a.m, I'll watch Maniac stream because it'll be at he'll be
so chilled. It's like, oh man, it's just like, it's so relaxed. Like I sometimes watch it first thing in the morning and I'm like, yep, I'm relaxed. I'm ready to fight that. He's just like, he plays CS and he talks about CS the same way he plays life. He's just like, yeah, let's, like I was watching him the other day in a game. He's like, yep, we're in a 4v3. Just sit back, just relax, have a drink. You know, I'm like, fucking hell. Yeah, let's do it. Let's have a glass of wine. Like I don't even like wine, but it makes me want to.
How good would it have been to like have him as an IG? Like, imagine him having him as an IGL now, like during Envious and like LDLC. Yeah,
it'd be so relaxing. You'd never be stressed out about anything. You'd be like 14-1 down. He'd be like, "All right, guys, let's, you know, let's take this one round at a time. You know, let's get a man advantage in the pistol. Let's just chill out." I'm like, oh, "Fucking hell, yeah!" I also watch a lot of League of Legends streams. I don't know if you know Rat IRL.
No.
Oh, Rat is just, he's absolutely hysterical. It's just like, he used to be this like incredibly toxic guy and then he reformed and he's just so funny. He's just like a walking soundboard, but he's also just like absolutely ungodly at League of Legends. So it's like a mix of just one of the best like AD carries in the region, just, but he's a complete moron. It's brilliant. It's great content.
All right, so mine are for Counter-Strike. It's MSL. I've been watching some MSL lately. Obviously, like the normal stuff. So like ESL, and yeah. I'm assuming we're not including any of that. Who else do I watch at Counter-Strike? I watch Scrawny sometimes. I watch Launder sometimes. I watch Flom a lot, just because it works really well with my time. Because he'll start at like 7 a.m. Pacific. So it's like 8 or 9 a.m. when I get up. It's like he's starting, it's like, okay, let's go, and he'll just play Counter-Strike the whole day. It's very convenient. It's really nice background. I watch Jericho, who does a lot of everything. I haven't been watching League streams very often, but when I do, I watch Ross Boomstocks.
Ross is quite funny.
We'll do stupid builds, really dumb. But I've been watching some Valorant recently. I watched JDM's stream for a little while.
Oh, wow.
It was a weird thing.
That's a blast from the past. Like, I sometimes, if I'm going to watch Valorant, I'll watch, like, Shazam or somebody. But I didn't even realize JDM streamed.
He streams, maybe, like, I'll... once in a while, and it's Valorant. And, I don't know, it's weird, man. Cause
Does he only play for that as well?
Yes. It's been a month or two, but it's, like, when I was watching Valorant, it was like, that's what I was watching. Because I was just like, why the hell not? Like, what do I have to lose?
I mean, yeah, it's understandable. Like, I sometimes just tune into random people like that. I tend to avoid, like, I feel like I'm almost too old to know about, like, half the people on Twitch. People are like, oh, you know, this guy. Like, I don't know who XQC is. I genuinely only know who he is because of a chess streamer who calls him QVC. Because he's like a 50-year-old man and he thinks that's funny.
I mean, that is pretty funny, to be honest.
I guess that's somebody I watch. Ben Feingold. He's a chess player. Sometimes he's like the king of dad jokes. Like he does. He teaches people how to play chess, and he'll be like, "Oh yeah, no, this is the Tarkov attack, named after my favorite chess player, Mr. Attack." It's like, yeah, brilliant, fantastic. It just never gets old.
I mean, let's be real here. I figured out who my favorite streamer is. It's me.
It's you.
No, it's not true. I'm literally my least favorite streamer, but I do stream once in a while.
There's a guy called Speedlapse who's going to reply, if he listens to this, he's going to reply with that I should stream some more because he always does, because I used to stream and then I just stopped. And he always wants me to stream, but I don't know, man. Streaming's difficult.
I'm telling you, man, we've been throwing this idea around for a while. We're gonna do like a host of one of the tournaments one day and just do them like Beyond the Summit casting.
Yeah.
But for not BTS. For like Blast or something. It's gonna be great. One day.
Sure.
You sound very convinced on this fact.
There's a lot of great ideas and very few of them actually seem to happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, we're going to get going because I got to run to work. Thank you for listening to TLDR. Thank you for listening to Overtime Inferno this week. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at AZESC, at Logan Ramhap, and at ReadTLDR. We'll be back again next week, and I think we have results from RMR events. So
hell yeah. We'll know who's at the major.
I mean, other than the people that are already there. Yeah. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.